the sadism of child protection. This paragraph deals with a topic that is highly controversial in our Western civilized cultures, education toward autonomy. I especially tackle the question of protectiveness and the consequences of overprotecting children. On the other side of the spectrum, I highlight the advantages of an educational approach that deliberately reinvests the child's living environment with the natural dangers of life. It is a fact that in today's Western societies, children grow up in a more or less artificial space that deprives them of essential life experiences and, worse, of important contacts with people outside of their family. Modern educators like Maria Montessori came up with the idea of tailoring the child's living environment according to the child's age and size, thus segregating adults and children into worlds apart. Regarding the child's natural need of a variety of contacts to grow into a sociable and kind person, it is argued by child protectors that such contacts may endanger the child's health, physical safety, or emotional balance. Every reader who, like me, has been living overseas or was frequently on holidays in cultures where the perennial educational paradigm reigns will agree that in these cultures, children tend to be more sociable, more happily involved with a spectrum of experiences outside of the house, more responsible and self-reliant, more helpful, and far less naughty. And yet, while these children live in a potentially unsafe environment, they are actually safer than children in most Western countries. For example, crime statistics show that in these countries, the number of child rape, assault, violent murder, lust murder, or kidnapping of children is minimal compared to the statistics for these crimes in Western societies. I give three examples for those cultures: Indonesia, Thailand, and Cambodia, as I have lived in each of these cultures for several years, and I have seen that children are more independent there than in any Western country, and yet they are safer, and cases of child-related crime are very rare. Western crime experts justifying the Western child protection paradigm tend to argue that these statistics could not be relied upon since the most part of child abuse went unreported in those cultures. This is certainly a no-nonsense argument and also an argument that is very difficult to refute. On the other hand, having now lived for more than 10 years in developing countries, I can say that, with one exception, I have not heard or seen cases of such nature from personal reports or from local newspapers or any other reliable source in those countries. Whereas when I studied in the United States 20 years ago, I was constantly reminded of child kidnapping when I got my daily milk, the milk box featuring every morning another child with photo and details that had been kidnapped within the last 3 or 5 months and where all search by police and intelligence forces had been in vain. And when I turned on the TV, there was at least one moment every day when the topic of child abuse, kidnapping, or murder was discussed for the 1,001st time. Of the many cultures I have lived and worked in over the last 20 years, the most unsafe country was exactly the country that most stressed children's safety and the need to protect children effectively, the United States. It is among all peaceful nations the country that shows since many years the highest number of child-related crimes. And this is really ironical, if not a key to understanding this utterly hypocrite and highly violent country, since it is no other than US organizations that came up with the concept of child protection. This contradiction between the reality promoted by American media propaganda and the actual reality in that culture is an all too typical feature of the hypocrisy in Western countries regarding childhood. The United States is only more extreme, but the arrogant hypocrite and know-all-better mindset pervades all Western societies. childhood, what is its reality in the Western industrialized world? A schizophrenic split between the world of grown-ups, and thus of privileged, responsible beings, and the world of so-called children, and thus of inferior, irresponsible beings. A good mummy and good daddy community of so-called adults that dominate in quite manipulative ways their children's slaves. The media, especially television and cinema, play a major role in this false theater, spreading the Western consumer value system worldwide, a value system that by suppressing and criminalizing the most tender forms of sexual interaction between generations, breeds violence, hatred, and hyper-aggressiveness mixed with sentimentality and a mindset twisted towards suspicion, mistrust, defensiveness, and insolence. The behavior of not only a large majority of Western children, but more or less a major part of all children in technologically advanced societies shows, as a result of tactile deprivation in childhood, the following patterns: lack of kindness and lack of empathy with others, lack of autonomy, self-determination, and responsibility, clinging behavior coming from symbiotic attachments, strong egotism and difficult attitude, frequent anxiety, insomnia, or nightmares, strong materialistic focus, dependence on labels, standardized behavior patterns and role models, school violence such as racketing smaller ones, etc., laziness, lack of attention, sometimes analphabetism, depressions, tendency toward drugs, sexual dysfunctions. There are no quick fixes to heal these symptoms, and if there are, they do exactly this: cure symptoms, but not the disease at its origin. The disease is cultural, psychological, and ideological. It's a pattern. It's the Puritan mindset that punishes pleasure and belittles violence, that roots out any spontaneous and creative behavior in favor of behavior that goes along with imitation of idealized model leaders, strong materialism, possession thinking in human relations, racial priority or missionary ideas, low profile, humiliation instead of humility, sadism, physical violence against children, justification of slavery, civil war, and structural violence, revenge-oriented criminal law and violent prison system, religion with a jealous, vindicative, and violent God, strong prohibition of premarital sex, dominance of patriarchal values, male inheritance is prior to female inheritance, high regard for yang professions, high disregard for yin professions, and so on. And yet many United States citizens still tend to believe they lived in a liberal and free society, blaming the Taliban and other tiny minorities of acting out the shadow that they deny to admit and realize in their own mnemonic and socio-political setup. And regarding the rights of children, their rhetoric is suspiciously similar to the way the former apartheid regime in South Africa talked about the black slaves and their social status. All children's rights for a free, uninhibited, and non-manipulated emotional and sexual life during childhood and youth are countered with arguments that deny children, namely, the ability to determine themselves, the ability to make responsible choices, the ability to identify what could possibly harm them, the ability to develop autonomy, the ability to make friends, the ability to assert oneself, and the ability to consent to sexual relations. Before responding to each of those arguments in more detail, let me state what sounds a commonplace but is none. Who educates children to become clinging, dependent slaves? Who denies them to make responsible choices? Who denies them to determine their private lives, their friendships, and their emotional attachments, let alone lead their own sexual lives, must not wonder that children growing in such a hyper-restrictive mindset will exactly comply to the image of irresponsible, immature slaves. This is why the propaganda of the child protection movement is a mere euphemism and has hardly any empirical value. They are a front of ideologically fixated subjects that are forwarding as truth what is more precisely the manipulated reality they themselves have brought about through their paranoid mindset and the utter violence they unleash upon their children on a daily basis in what they call strict education. Of course, to them, what they hold true is indeed true. Their ideological setup lets them see reality, and especially the reality of children, through a distorted eye. Their regard on children can at best be compared to the regard Tsarist aristocrats bestowed upon their soul vessels. And their protectionism is an exact parallel to the protectionism a Russian landlord exerted over his soul slaves. The word protectionism says it all. It's a key to understanding the hypocrisy behind all sorts of so-called protection. Some more interesting parallel comes up when we look at another of those false realities, the juridical notion of a protectorate. In this term of international law, we again encounter the verb to protect, and here too, it is a hypocrite pretext for colonial occupation of a foreign territory in violation of Article 2, Paragraph 2, UN Charter, and thus against international law. This term equally reveals to us that pretexting to protect another is often, even in the law of nations, a rape-like act targeting at violating the other and depriving them of autonomy and self-determination. Democracy has not brought us an advantage because it has not changed the structures of power. It has only given another frame of reference, but we still have the totalitarian regime of the most stupid instead of a natural regime of the most intelligent. This is so since more than 2,000 years, and I do not know how to change this course of events. I could imagine much more a kingdom state becoming an example of a good and democratic nation instead of one of our modern democracies with their mob regime, their violence, their appalling sunshine mindset, and their ignorance about the spiritual foundations of life. It is for this reason not surprising to me to find more natural and more emotionally healthy and integrated children in countries that do not arrogantly pretend to be democracies, but that struggle with totalitarian and even fascist regimes, as long as they have a true understanding for the nature of children, an understanding that has got lost in most Western nations. I believe that true democracy can exist everywhere, no matter what regime a culture or nation subscribes to, as long as it has a cultural or spiritual foundation that respects human values and human life. If we free ourselves from black and white judgments that divide the world in East and West, high and low, male and female, good and bad, and so on, and have a new and fresh regard on the question of education, we have to acknowledge that all over the world, education needs wisdom and patience. However, it is not given to everyone to be wistful and patient, which is the reason why in antiquity teaching was in the resort of philosophers and men of high personal culture. We can also highlight the problem from another angle. Where people need a captain, they are unable to steer themselves. Where they need a child protection movement, they are unable to protect their children by themselves. And if we inquire why this is so, we get some keys about the true problems of childhood in our Western cultures. In my opinion, the reasons are a genuine disinterest of many Westerners in children, a lack of care present adults suffered in their childhood, transfer of tutelary power from the family to the state, lack of knowledge about what children really need, hypocrite attitude regarding the facts of life, lack of caring touch between older and younger people, lack of trust through disruption of the extended family, lack of freedom for alternative forms of togetherness, aggressiveness combined with egotism, considered as better than tenderness combined with care. Defensive emotional behavior because of lacking trust. Neglect of children's emotional needs, and so on. This list is not exhaustive. It shows only the peak of the iceberg. If there is one area in modern society that is really neglected, it is education. The problem is that education is not human anymore, and it does not seem to be designed for humans, but for robots. Since we still are on the slave education level, what we've got is actually a fake education, a no education. With eradicating nobles, we have eradicated true education that, again, not by chance, once was called humanistic.